Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year that reminds us that every single day we should be thankful for so many blessings. We pray now that you would meet with us, have your way in our hearts, fill us to overflowing with your loving grace, that as we go out, we may let the world know that we are a thankful people because we have a great, big, wonderful God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Ask you to stand with us as we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.
I realize we are jumping the gun on this. This is a Christmas song. However,
originally we were going to do O Come Let Us Adore Him, which is a not quite so Christmassy song, but the message is still the same.
Worship folder is a litany of thanksgiving. I invite you to turn to that. It's on the yellow sheet. Give thanks to the Lord who is good.
God's love is everlasting.
Come, let us praise God.
Let us come to God with thanksgiving.
For the good world, for things great and small, beautiful and awesome, for seen and unseen splendors.
Thank you, God.
For human life, for talking and moving, thinking together, for hopes and hardships shared.
Thank you, God.
For work to do and strength to work, for comradeship and labor, for sharing of good humor and encouragement.
Thank you, God.
For marriage and the mystery and joy of flesh made one, for mutual forgiveness and burden shared.
Thank you, God.
For family, for living together and eating together, for family amusements and family pleasures.
Thank you, God.
For children, for their energy and curiosity, for their brave play and startling frankness, for their sudden sympathies.
Thank you, God.
For the young, for their high hopes, for their irreverence toward worn-out values, and for their search for freedom.
Thank you, God.
For growing up and growing old, for wisdom deepened by experience, and for time made precious by its passing.
Thank you, God.
For your help in times of doubt and sorrow, for healing our diseases, for preserving us in temptation and danger.
Thank you, God.
For the church into which we are called, for the good news we receive by word and sacrament, for our life together in the Lord.
We praise you, God.
For your Holy Spirit who guides our steps and brings us gifts of faith and love, who prays in us and prompts our grateful worship.
We praise you, God.
Above all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lives again for our salvation, for our hope in him and the joy, and for the joy of serving him.
We thank and praise you, God, for your goodness to us.
Give thanks to the Lord who is good.
God's love is everlasting.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You may be seated. Are we going to have a children's message? Okay, he says no. Okay, there goes your congregation. All right. All right, children may go to children's church. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Do be in prayer for our boiler. God is able to handle that sort of thing too. Pardon me too. I parked over at the Fellowship Hall this morning thinking we were going to be meeting in there, and come to find out Richard spent the whole morning over here yesterday fixing up our boiler the best he could and getting it running so we had heat in here today. But we need to make some decisions to decide whether this is the time or not, and we would appreciate your prayers there. It's good to see Jordan back with us. How is he doing?
He's doing okay. We go back tomorrow for a checkup, and then we'll go from there. Thank you for all your
prayers. All right, great. Good to have him with us. I got a surprise the other day. I walked up to room 245, and I noticed there was a different name up there. It was Aaliyah, which is the name of one of our great granddaughters. And I thought, well, Jordan may not be here. I wonder if that's the same Aaliyah. So I knocked on the door and walked in, and it wasn't Jordan, because it was a young lady, very, very attractive young lady, and I talked with her and her mother for a few minutes and whatnot. But anyway, I was glad that he was out of there, so that was a good sign. Any others? David. Thank you. Several of you were kind enough to ask about my brother in South Carolina, and I've been trying to call him all week. Finally, I called his son, and the son said, oh, yes, he's been staying here with us for a few days. And the other morning, he fell and hit his head on the cabinet and had to have 4 staples put in and that sort of thing. So the drama goes on there, but the saga continues, so keep Richard, Lord, in your prayers, if you would, please. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again we give you thanks and praise. You are so good to us. Remind us daily that it's not because of who we are, it's because of who you are. It's because of things called mercy and grace that you pour out your blessings upon your people here. We realize that in this room this morning, there are more needs than there are people. There are so many, Lord, who are going through times of physical difficulty, ailments, procedures, surgeries, therapies, recuperating. We just pray, Lord, that as a great physician, your healing hand would be upon each one. We realize today that there are so many people who are going through financial difficulties. There just seems to be too much left at the end of the money. We pray that you would remind them that you will indeed supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. That doesn't necessarily apply to all of our wants, but all of our needs. We pray that you would help us as your children, that we might be faithful in reaching out to help others. As we give through the church, as we have other opportunities to give, especially at this time of the year, remind us, Lord, that there are so many that have so little, and we can change lives one at a time if we're faithful to you and your calling to us. We pray today that you would be with our great nation. Oh Lord, we're going through a time of transition and turmoil. We pray that you would comfort hearts. We pray that you would be with those who are now our leaders. Guide and direct them. Be with those who soon will be our leaders. We pray that you would give them wisdom, give them discernment. We pray that you would guide and direct them as they seek to continue to direct our nation in the direction you'd have it to go. Remind us that we are one nation under God. That's what made America great, and that's what'll keep it great. We pray today that you'd be with our troops wherever they may be. Oh, it's difficult enough to be separated from friends and loved ones anytime, but this time of the year, it's even more difficult. We pray that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts. We pray that you'd be with their families, Lord. May they feel your presence and your touch. Help us today, Lord, that we might seek to be not only a Thanksgiving people, not only a Christmas people, not only an Easter people, but that we might be a people of God every day of the year, that the world might know we have a God who loves and cares. That the world might know that we have a God that loved the world so much that he sent his only son. That we might know that we might show the world that we have a Savior who was born in a stable, who lived, who died, who rose again, that we might know the joys of eternal life beginning here and now. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, for all of your blessings, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Remain standing as we sing How Great Thou Art.
Consider all the world.
may be seated. Reading this morning from the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. You know, that might slow us down right there. You know, we used to be called shouting Methodist. Nowadays, about the only time that happens is in a church council meeting. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All my days and all my hours. Oh, for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise. Oh, for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise.
Sacred, for it is God's
cruise set sail for America on September the 6th,
1620. And for 2 months, they braved the harsh elements of the storm-tossed sea. We hear today about people on these great, big, gigantic cruise ships who go through these storms. They haven't seen anything compared to what the pilgrims went through to get here. When they finally disembarked at Plymouth Rock, they held a prayer service. They were not prepared for the harsh New England winter. I've seen 14 of those, and I was somewhat prepared, so it wasn't quite so bad. But nearly half of those first pilgrims died that first winter. Following that grueling winter, the pilgrims were surprised when they had an Indian visitor by the name of Samoset. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Samoset came and greeted them in English. They did learn from trappers and fishermen. He left, and about a week later, he returned with a friend named Squanto, who then lived with the pilgrims and accepted their Christian faith. Squanto taught them about how to live in this new world. That fall, the pilgrims reaped a bountiful harvest and declared a 3-day feast in December of 1621 to thank God and to celebrate America's first Thanksgiving festival with their Indian friends. There were 90 Wampanoag Indians who joined the 50 pilgrims for 3 days of feasting and games. The pilgrim practice of designating a time of Thanksgiving spread into neighborhood colonies and became an annual tradition. In 1777, the Continental Congress proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving after the American Revolutionary victory at the Battle of Saratoga. 12 years later, George Washington proclaimed another national day of Thanksgiving in honor of the ratification of the Constitution and requested that Congress make it an annual event. They declined. It'd be another 100 years at the end of the Civil War before President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day. In your sermon insert is a copy of the prayer for his proclamation of the day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer that Lincoln gave. I would invite you to read it, if not during the rest of the sermon when you get home today. In 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt began celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of each November. And finally, in 1941, Congress permanently established that day as a national Thanksgiving holiday. So much for the history lesson for today. Andy Rooney said that the two best-selling genre of books in bookstores are cookbooks and diet books. Cookbooks tell you how to prepare it. Diet books tell you not to eat it. Orson Welles, you remember, he was a very portly gentleman. He once said, "My doctor told me to give up those intimate little dinners for four, unless there are three others eating with me." Just to kind of be a spoiler of your Thanksgiving day, perhaps, a California scientist calculated that every year each of us eats 16 times our weight in food. A horse eats only 8 times its weight. This would seem to prove that if we want to lose weight, we should eat like a horse. Back in the 1930s, William Stidger was a well-noted minister and author. He was in a restaurant with several friends, and they were all talking about the depression that had such a tight grip on our nation. All of the suffering, all of the joblessness, all of the suicide that was going on among those who had been wealthy. The conversation became more and more bleak during that meal. William finally told his friends, he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. Sunday, I'm supposed to preach a sermon on Thanksgiving. And I'm having difficulty finding something positive to say at a time like this." He said the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and the Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you try thanking those who have been a blessing to you?" As he thought about the idea, he remembered a school teacher that he'd had years before, who had been one of his very dear friends and one of his favorite teachers. She taught poetry and English literature. She'd gone out of her way to show him special attention and to give him a love of literature and verse. It had affected all of his writings and all of his preaching from that time on. So he sat down and he wrote her a letter. A few days later, he received a reply from her in the feeble scrawl of an aged person. The letter began, "My dear Willie." He said, "Here I was, over half a century old. Nobody had called me Willie in years." He said, just the opening sentence warmed his heart. Here's what the letter said. "My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. You'll be interested to know that I taught school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done in many years." Stidger said, "I'm not sentimental, but I found myself weeping over that note." Then he thought of a kindly bishop, now retired. He was now an old man who had recently faced the death of his wife, and he was all alone. The bishop had taken a lot of time with him and given him counsel and advice when he was pastoring his first church. So he sat down and he wrote a note to the old bishop. A few days later, he received a reply from him. "My dear Will, your letter was so beautiful that as I sat reading it in my study, tears of gratitude fell from my eyes. Before I realized what I was doing, I rose from my chair and I called out my wife's name to share it with her, for a moment forgetting that she was no longer with me. You'll never know how much your letter has warmed my spirit. I've been walking around in its glow all day long." Let me share some truths with you this morning about giving thanks. First, we need to remember that expressing thanks is a habit. We've all been and seen parents prompting their children, saying, "What do you say?" And the child parrots, "Thank you." It's a good way to teach children. But we shouldn't have to ask believers, "What do you say to God?" Hopefully, every one of us have taken time already today to thank God for his blessings in our lives. Thanksgiving should come from hearts that are so full and overflowing of gratitude that we can't keep still. It's a good habit. We should do it automatically. We all need to form more good habits, and we need to keep them. We should be in the habit of thanking people for all they do for us. And it is no sin to be in the habit of thanking God at every meal. A while back, I read an interesting story. A woman said, "Recently, I took my children to a restaurant. My six-year-old son asked if he could say grace. As we bowed our heads, he said, 'God is great, God is good. Thank you for the food. And I would thank you even more if Mom gets us ice cream for dessert. With liberty and justice for all, amen.'" Along with the laughter of the customers nearby, I heard a woman remark, "That's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray. Asking God for ice cream, why, I never." Hearing this, my son burst into tears and asked me, "Did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me?" As I held him and assured him that he had done a terrific job and God was certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at my son and said, "I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer." "Really?" my son asked. "Cross my heart," the man replied. Then in a theatrical whisper, he added, indicating the woman whose comment had started this whole thing, "Too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul." Naturally, I bought my kids ice cream at the end of the meal. My son stared at his for a moment and then did something that I will cherish for the rest of my life. He picked up his sundae and walked over and placed it in front of the woman. With a big smile, he told her, "Here, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul, and my soul is already good." Not only is Thanksgiving a habit, but expressing thanks is a courtesy. We expect it of others and they expect it of us. It's a valid expectation. It's etiquette. It's good manners. God expects you and me to be thankful, and surely we should extend to God the same courtesy that we extend to our brothers and sisters. To fail to be thankful to God for all he's done for us would be rude and thoughtless. Expressing thanks is also worship. It's even a part of pagan worship. We find many examples of heathen people thanking their gods. It was an integral part of Old Testament worship. The Old Testament is filled with examples of personal and corporate thanksgiving. We find examples throughout the New Testament, including those of Jesus and Paul, continually expressing thanks. Our worship highlights thanksgiving. It's in our songs, our prayers, and in our sermons. Someone said, "I am thankful for the mess to clean up after a party because it means I've been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. For my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm able to be out in the sunshine. For a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing, leaves that need raking, because it means I have a home. I'm thankful for the parking place I find at the far end of the lot, because it means that I'm capable of walking. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government. Not that we would hear any of that, of course, but it means that we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for my heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for the person behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can hear. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning because it means I'm alive. I'm thankful for piles of laundry because it means that my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means that I've been productive." Do you realize this morning that the only difference between a prison and a monastery is the difference between griping and gratitude. We can make whatever we have wherever we are either a prison or a paradise. It's up to us. Expressing thanks is also faith. It's believing that past blessings came from God. It's believing that present blessings come from God. It's believing that future blessings will come from God. God is good all the time. We can thank God for his blessings later today. We can thank God for his blessings tomorrow. We can thank God for his blessings during this coming week because God is good. Expressing thanks is also love. Love means we never take our gifts for granted. It means we never take the giver for granted. Love should be expressed in words, and love should be expressed in deeds. Last week, we gave a quotation from William Law that bears repeating. He said, "Would you know who's the greatest saint in the world? It's not the one who prays the most or fasts the most. It's not the one who gives the most or is known for most in temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is the one who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as God's goodness, and is always ready to praise God for it." William Law lived back in the 16th and 17th centuries, but what he said is still very apropos today. Thanksgiving is often born through difficult times. Many of the greatest expressions of thanksgiving occurred under circumstances when it would have been more reasonable to express bitterness. Some thoughts here. First of all, we're thankful because we remember. Psalm 100, our scripture for today, is a song of thanksgiving. Most thanksgiving psalms talk about deliverance from trials. But Psalm 100 encourages us to remember our trials. And in this great country of ours, we have seen things that we need to remember. An email about September 11th, 2001, 9/11, was entitled, "What a Difference a Day Makes." Many of you remember that Tuesday morning that changed the world. Someone wrote, "On Monday we emailed jokes, on Tuesday we did not. On Monday we were fussing about prayer in school. On Tuesday it would have been difficult to find a school where everyone was not praying. On Monday our heroes were athletes and rappers and movie stars. On Tuesday we relearned who heroes really are. On Monday, people were separated by race, sex, color, and beliefs. On Tuesday, we were all holding hands. On Wednesday, we were irritated because a check had not arrived in the mail. On Tuesday, we gave money away gladly to people we'd never met. On Monday, we were upset that we had to wait 5 minutes in the fast food line. On Tuesday, we stood in line 3 hours to give blood for those who were dying. On Monday, we argued with our children to clean up their rooms. On Tuesday, we couldn't get home fast enough to hug our children. On Monday, we went to work as usual. On Tuesday, we went to work, but some of us did not come home. On Monday, we had families. On Tuesday, we had orphans. On Monday, September the 10th, life was routine. On Tuesday, September the 11th, it was not." What a difference a day makes. Hardships remind you and me that even when we travel through the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. Last Sunday, we also talked about Marvin Rinkert, a minister in the little town of Eilenburg, Germany, some 380 years ago. He was a son of a poor coppersmith, but he managed to work his way through an education. In 1617, he was offered the position of archdeacon. Now, an archdeacon is a priest that's kind of a supervisor over a group of other priests in the area. A year later, the 30-year war broke out. His town was caught in the middle. In 1637, the plagues that swept across Europe hit Eilenburg. 50 people a day were dying. Martin Rinkert conducted most of the funerals. Over 8,000 people died, including Rinkert's own wife. His ministry spanned 32 years, and all except for the first year and the last year were overwhelmed by great conflict. These were tough times for anybody to think about being thankful. But you remember, he still wrote the words, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom our world rejoices." Second, we're thankful. When we're thankful, we're humble. When we're truly humble, we confess our indebtedness to God. When we're thankful, we acknowledge God's goodness. In worship, we confess that there is no end to God's love and grace and goodness for you and me. One more story, and we're going to go home. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and theologian. In 1943, he was imprisoned for his resistance and his opposition to the Nazis. He was imprisoned for 2 years while the war raged all around him. His cell wall was struck by shrapnel. His cell window was blown out. He endured the cold German winter in those surroundings. On the day of his sentencing, he conducted a worship service for the other prisoners. One of the prisoners, an English officer, wrote these words, "Bonhoeffer seemed to spread an atmosphere of happiness and joy over the least incident, and profound gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. He was one of the very few persons I've ever met for whom God was real and always near. On Sunday, April 8th, 1945, Pastor Bonhoeffer conducted a little service of worship and spoke to us in a way that went to the heart of every one of us. He found just the right words to express the spirit of our imprisonment and the thoughts and resolutions that it had brought us. He had hardly ended his last prayer when the door opened and two armed guards entered. They said, 'Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us.' That had only one meaning for everyone in that room. They knew he was headed to the gallows. We said goodbye to him. He took me aside and said, 'This may seem like the end, but for me it's the beginning of life.' The next day he was hanged." Now, how in the world could God meet with people in a German prison with gallows in view? He was able to meet because Bonhoeffer understood the meaning of thanksgiving. Out of our suffering today comes the greatest thanksgiving. In the wake of worldwide terrorism, and folks, I don't mean to alarm you, but it's not over. In the midst of the wars going on in the Middle East, in the midst of political and economic uncertainty, we have reason to remember and to celebrate Thanksgiving. In remembrance, humility, and God's goodness. For children of God, we need to remember that an attitude of gratitude is not just what we do, it's who we are. Bill Gaither said, "Let's just praise the Lord. That should be our attitude, not only during this week, not only on Thursday, but every single day of the year. We should be able to say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because we have an opportunity for thanksgiving. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that not only that you would give us thankful hearts, but every moment of every day that you would help us to be a thankful people. Remind us of your love and grace. Remind us that the best is yet to come. We have reason to thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, He Touched Me.
Hearts overflowing with thanksgiving, God's love and grace, may you leave this place to go out and change your world in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.